DeMello. Coast FM.
Obviously, the message for the Easter break is stay at home.
Yes.
Police will have mobile checkpoints and number plate recognition software active over Easter.
Yeah.
And there'll be fines.
Yeah, double demerits as well.
Well, yeah, that one too.
Both of them.
Yeah, so fines if you're not where you're supposed to be, and also double demerits in play from midnight tonight if you aren't driving. So there's there's two kind of things just...
Two reasons to not get in the car.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a different Easter, and like, let's hope that if we keep this going, then it won't be a different Christmas, you know?
That would be nice.
Yeah. And the other thing, since we are talking Easter, Christians worldwide today mark Maundy Thursday.
Maundy.
Which commemorates the Last Supper. Yes.
Oh.
It's also known as Holy Thursday, Covenant Thursday, and the Thursday of Mysteries in various traditions.
Oh, I like that.
I like Thursday of Mystery.
Yeah.
I think that should be every Thursday, just quietly. Anyway, Maundy refers to the foot washing Jesus provided the apostles prior to the Last Supper. The word Maundy itself comes from the Anglo-French word derived from the Latinum mandatum, which means commandment, or like a mandate. That's where it all comes from.
Okay.
It's not related to mouldy, which was what I always thought it was connected to when it came to the feet. I thought that's why they mouldy washed the feet.
Mouldy feet.
Hence the fush washing. The fush washing.
Fush washing.
Yeah,
fush washing.
Right. Everybody gets some foot washing done today, though, is the point.
Clean feet.
Yeah. Does anyone wash other people's feet these days? I mean, apart from...
Pretty gross.
Yeah.
Their nail salons. They give your feet a good scrub, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think, given our current social climate, there'll be much of that going on.
No.
So you'll have to wash your own. The feelings of relief around the world.
It's time for Nikki and DeMello's Game of the Day. Today's game is...
Who Dis? And here to play is Michael from Secret Harbour. How you doing, Michael?
Yeah, fantastic, thank you.
Very nice.
That is good. Now, if you can tell us who dis, you win yourself $50 to spend at the Sporting Globe, Mantra or Rockingham on some takeaway.
Awesome.
Good
yum,
stuff,
yum.
Too. There's not much on there that I wouldn't be happy with.
No.
In fact, I don't think there's anything on there that I wouldn't be happy with, just quietly. This is the person you've got to identify.
I find it hard to believe someone was going for a run and then stopped to have a kebab. But in any event, they do things differently in New South Wales. Look, there's nothing wrong with... There's nothing wrong with going for a run. There's nothing wrong with going for a run and having a kebab.
No kebabs on the Sporting Globe menu, but still.
But you're not going for a run, so that's fine.
No, that's right. To win it, can you tell us who that is?
I can, and I have to agree with him too, that you shouldn't go for a run and have a kebab. But yeah. Look, that's our Premier, Mark McGowan, I believe.
The Right Honourable.
Of course he is.
Correctly done. So
the
well
ambassador
done.
Of no kebab running.
That's right.
Kebab free running.
Yeah. Although there is nothing technically wrong with it.
It's not unlawful, as he said.
That's right. It's just not an activity that West Australians encourage.
Oh, dear me.
Michael, well done. $50 to spend at the Sporting Globe in Mandurah and Rockingham for you.
For some takeaway.
Awesome. Thank you. And
no worries.
Can I do a shout out to some people?
Oh, go on then. You're here.
I just, I'm a teacher, and I want to shout out to all the teachers out there that have been doing an amazing job going from face-to-face teaching to now delivering online. It's been an incredible journey for a lot of teachers, and I know they've done an amazing job going there.
An incredible journey in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of improvising that I imagine is going on in lots of places. So, yeah, here. Mayor Rhys Williams, morning.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Not bad.
Good. Now, what's going on over this Easter long weekend? I know there's a lot of closures throughout the state. Have you got anything you wanted to tell the people of Mandurah?
Yeah, look, number one message this weekend is... Local people just got to stay home. Tell your friends and family who might be living in Perth not to come town and just stay home. You know, there's lots of things that you can do around the house. Perhaps, you know, jump on a Zoom call with the grandparents or do a hunt in the backyard. But we just need to be mindful of the risks and staying home. State government has allowed essential travel between Perth and Mandurah, free movement between that. That's a policy of the state government. We don't have any powers to lock Mandurah down, but we're discouraging people from coming down here. But to be honest, if people are coming down to Mandurah and, you know, idiots all the way do the wrong thing, the majority of people have been great, but some people will just do the wrong thing. the best way that local people can keep themselves and their families safe is just to stay home, order food in from some good local businesses, and just hang around at home.
Fair enough. I noticed too, it's Preston Beach for Waroona, but for us, Tim's Thicket and White Hills that have been closed to four-wheel drive access to.
Yeah, those, as anyone, you know, anyone that's ever been down there would know, those spots are great to go down at Easter time, and because of that, big crowds go down, and the salmon are running as well, so yeah, that usually means that you get a few more people down there too. We're not planning to keep those vehicle restricted areas in place forever, but we've done it for the Easter period because we want to discourage people from coming down to Mandurah to go out on those beaches. Our other beaches are, you know, still open. You can still go for a walk down the beach. Go down to your local beach, though. And, you know, the police and the rangers are going to be monitoring those beaches too. So people just got to do the right thing. But, yeah, closing vehicles to those beaches is just about, again, another lever that we can pull to discourage people from coming down here.
Mm. And on that, because it is going to be a stinker tomorrow and looks like Saturday is going to be pretty hot too. Really, it's about being kind of, you know, sensible about things so that we don't lose the privilege, isn't
it? Yeah, if we all do the right thing, we can keep the beaches open. Is that right?
Nailed it, guys. Like, you know, we have some of the most beautiful beaches in Western Australia here in Mandurah, and they are big, long, white beaches, which means, yeah, if you want to, you know, do a bit of exercise for an hour or so, I certainly will be, you know, head down to the beach, get a bit of fresh air. It's always nice just to, you know, have... I love the beach. It's my favourite place. But if people do the wrong thing, then that privilege will be taken away from us. And so we need to be really mindful of just doing the right thing. Just give yourself plenty of space when you're down there. They're big, long beaches. There's no need to be sitting on top of anyone.
Yeah. So once again, it's groups of two. Right. So one other person that's not in the household. And then your whole household can go out together, though.
Yep, but just common sense. Just keep away from any, you know, from large groups of people. There is going to be monitoring going on, and, you know, don't spend all day down there. You're just heading down, doing a bit of exercise, and then heading back home. The major message is, except for a bit of exercise or, you know, something essential, just stay home. If you've got to do some shopping for the weekend, do it today if you can. Get out and do it today. Get it done, and then just be at home over the weekends, because even though, you know, we can't be stopping every person from doing the wrong thing, what I don't want to see is local people putting themselves at risk by going out if there are increases in crowds down here.
Yeah, no, fair call. So I think everyone stay safe this Easter. Reece, thank you. Yeah. And we'll check in again and see what plans are for Anzac Day after this, eh?
Good on you guys. And hey, happy Easter. Like, still got to enjoy ourselves over Easter. Have a good laugh and enjoy a whole lot of chocolate, which is what I want.
You too.
You can't stop the advance of technology, Nikki. And
you can't.
No, now it's time to make room for a bit of tech that I bet you never knew you needed.
Okay.
Time to welcome the smart toilet. Developed by a very clever sort.
Japanese toilets?
You'd think They're so. No, it's even smarter than that.
What? That.
A bloke at Stanford University appears, has created something that apparently recognises your rear end, uses cameras and motion sensors to identify a range of disease markers in your leavings.
The last thing you want is a camera looking at you.
Included in that, it looks for warning signs for various types of cancers,
well,
which is all very
good.
Handy. Apparently, the toilet identifies users by reading their fingerprints on the flush lever, but that's not all. It also recognises their backsides via and this is the quote, anal print. Which is unique
Your
to
anal
each human.
Print.
I know. Now, I assume being a smart device, I'll just let that sink in.
Oh, hello there, Nikki. Welcome.
Back so soon.
You've been spending a lot of time in here.
I assume being a smart device, it's connected to the net, right?
Yeah. Is someone going to hack into your toilet and look at pictures of your butt?
Let's hope that's very securely locked down. Because otherwise you're going to get way more than you bargained for if you hack into that
Gross. One. Imagine that got leaked online. Leaked images of celebrities' buttholes.
The things that are already out there with people's video conferencing via Zoom is embarrassing enough, let alone what this toilet will bring to the table. Oh, there's a mixed metaphor that didn't need to happen. Malcolm Blight, morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Nikki. Good morning, Demello. How are you going, guys?
Yeah.
Good.
Not bad.
Would be better if there was some footy to watch. But hey, they're talking, they're pushing back the season now. I know they said May, but what's the latest?
Well, I've had this theory that I reckon once everyone says it's okay, give it another 4 weeks. Okay. So I'm actually, you know, I've just, and I don't know, that's just me, and I think July the 1st, and you look at, I've gone forward about 13 weeks, you could play 13 rounds plus the one you got 14. It's probably good enough for a season, and then have a big final series at the end, and you'd finish sometime in November. And that's okay.
Okay.
I reckon we could do that. Yeah, that would be my call. Yeah. However, we do need those virus numbers to drop a bit more, I reckon.
Yeah.
And there's lots of talk about the ways that they might structure. And obviously all of that depends on how much time everyone's got to play with. But there's talk of round robins. There's talk of finals
Eddie
lots of places.
Was talking about putting rounds in states less affected.
Yeah, in the hubs and all that sort of stuff. And I was thinking south of Perth. Somewhere down Mandurah Way might be a good spot for a whole global village of AFL players.
Well, wouldn't that be good?
The Marsh Community Series came this way as part of the pre-season.
Yeah.
The pre-season that actually lasted longer than the season. But, yeah, so, look, you know, it's waiting. It's given.
Might be a good thing for us in the end.
Yeah.
If we get more people down here.
The other thing is, though, the governments have got to change the rules. I mean, you know, the social distancing rules a bit, and because you can't get groups together. So unless the governments do that, it's fairly hypothetical, but I think we'd all like to see some footy, but we'd also like to see it at least played 99.99% safe.
Well, yeah, of course. Have they been playing, I don't know what they've been doing elsewhere, but I know in some parts they've been playing old footy on the telly. Like, are they doing that everywhere?
A lot of replays.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and what they're doing, they're getting the current day callers to call the game. So if you've got a 20-year-old game, so they're actually talking in the modern vernacular about what's happening and all
Right.
I've caught a couple of them. They're quite good, actually.
Nice.
You know, I mean, if your team's there, you take a bit more interest in it, obviously. But, yeah, no, it's very good.
And obviously you get a chance to see things like drop kicks, which, you know, don't appear in the modern game.
No, actually, there hasn't been too many of those. They haven't quite gone back that far. Actually, you realise, you guys, you're obviously very young people, so...
Clearly.
The first colour TV, first colour grand final was 1975, and I actually played in it. North Melbourne played Hawthorn, so they haven't gone back to black and white footage, and I'm so glad they haven't.
Was that the year of the monster after the siren effort? Was that? I mean, was that...
That was the following year.
The following year. Wow, so you got two in a trot. Very nice.
Yeah.
Look at you go. Have you caught any of your old games yet?
No. Actually, I caught one the other day where they were carrying me off after that game at Princess Park after the siren. That was one of the, you know, let's get back to this sort of stuff, you know. So, I caught the end of it. It was, I've only seen it 1,448,000 times.
Well,
anyhow.
Yeah.
What's one more?
Given the lockdown, I reckon there'll be a few more thousand just to top it up. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll catch up and see what's going on next week.
Yeah. Hey, good on you guys. Yeah. Gil McLachlan, obviously CEO of the AFL, has talked that, you know, they're keeping in contact with the clubs, and there is a plan to go. I think still looking at that May the 31st and giving some advice from there. So something may happen in the next week. We'll wait and see.
Good day.
Perfect. All right. Catch up with you then.
97.3 Coast FM.
The Coast Feed.
With the queen of social distancing, Nikki Parkinson.
Thank you. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have announced that they will be eventually launching a non-profit organisation called Archiewell.
Or is it?
Archwell or Archiewell.
Archiewell, yes.
Who knows?
It's sort of spelled Archie.
It's spelled Archiewell pretty much. But apparently the name, obviously, named after their son, who is called Archie. But it also combines the ancient word for strength and action and another word that evokes the deep resources we must each draw upon.
Right.
That's their words.
Well, given that was the inspiration for their son's name too, they'll probably maybe going, intending it to go back to the original Greek, but who knows?
Who knows?
It'll be what people say.
We'll wait till they say it, shall we? Okay. They will officially launch this when the coronavirus pandemic is over. Liam Payne has released a new song with Alesso. This one's called Midnight.
I just want to lay here, fall into midnight, and fall right into you.
Very nice. I like it.
Yeah, the music video is also out, which they filmed at Alesso's LA studio and Liam's home in London, so they were nice and distanced.
Very much.
The former members of NSYNC really are in sync at the moment via Zoom. Lance Bass says the boy band have been bonding over virtual drinks during this coronavirus.
The interviews really kind of even bonded us even more, especially during this quarantine. You know, your relationships, I think, get tighter. So now we have happy hours every week together and on Zoom, which is really fun.
How sweet is that? Fans are obviously excited that this might mean a reunion when it's all over.
It's already happened, but there you go.
More JT news with besties Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon sharing a quarantine remix song, which they made out of their video conversations via Zoom. This is pretty funny.
There's a lot happening here, so stand by.
Shades,
it reminds me of an ad for pizza or something. I'm not sure what it is, but it's an ad for something, I swear.
They really are best friends, hilarious. Really? And Post Malone has filed a lawsuit against a Texas man who claims he co-wrote this hit song, Circles.
So
Tyler Arms was present, apparently, during the August 8, 2018 recording of the song, but Malone says he's falsely claiming that he's a co-author and did not write or author any portion of the song Circles and is not entitled to any of the revenue.
Nikki and DeMello.
97.3, Coast FM.